Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Yo, son!
One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
It is!
Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw.
Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits.
Are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening, man.
And good night.
And fourth meal. Yo, man.
Does anybody ever listen to Patreon before you listen to the regular episode? That'd be fun. That'd be a fun game you play with yourself. Listen to it. Because the Patreon's usually a continuation of an episode.
Ooh, sorry,
so
you know what
that's going.
That's a
go
very.
Listen to this first. That'd be fun.
That's a
like,
very.
Try to figure out what we were talking about.
That's a very interesting thought that you just had. Yeah, this is crazy. Big Dennis put up a post the other day, or today, and he said, "My boy Yogi sent me this today. It brings back so many memories."
What is it?
It's a poster I've never seen. It says Naughty by Nature and Heavy D with the Hot 97 Posse. Mm. Who do I recognize in here? I see Dr. Dre. I see Red Alert.
Tony Touch concert?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre. I see.
From Ed Lover and Dr. Dre.
Yeah. I see. I see. Cause Lisa Evers wasn't down that early, was she?
Yeah.
She was always there?
Well, maybe. I think so.
I think I see Lisa Evers. It could
that
be,
might
Lisa,
be Lisa G.
It might be Lisa G, but I don't
from
know.
The morning show. That might. I think that's Lisa G.
I see Angie Ma.
Angie Ma.
I see Flavor Flav.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I see Big Dennis. I see Vinny Vin. Flavor. This is when Flavor Flav was on the air, right?
Oh, yeah. Flavor Flav is on that poster as a radio personality.
Yeah.
Not as a artist.
I see Funkmaster, I believe. I think that's Clue. Was Clue there that early? No. Oh, no, Saif. There's Lisa G. So there's two Lisas on here.
Okay.
There's Heavy D. There's Tretch. By the way, this
poster.
Any of
the boys?
I think so. And by the way, this poster is horribly, like, superimposed. Yeah, Big Dennis posted it. Tell me who else you see, if you see anyone else on here.
Give me a second. Talk amongst yourselves.
All right. In the meantime, I'll try to put it up in case this ends up being a random video that Emilio puts up two weeks after the episode comes up.
Oh,
you find
yeah,
it?
I did see this. Okay, we got... That's Moni Love, no? Is that Moni Love on the left of Dre?
Was Moni on that early?
Moni, I think, was. That's Lisa Evers, yep. That's Red Alert.
Red Alert hates me now. Sad.
Red Alert. Red Alert hates you?
I don't know if he hates me, but he doesn't love me.
That's Angie Martinez, the Hot 97 jersey, Flavor Flav. I see Vinny,
yeah.
Tretch, Big Dennis in the back.
A woman in my it's, yo, do you see how Batman superimposed Scoop? It is?
No, I don't think this is superimposed.
You don't think some of the people are superimposed? It looks like they were like...
I think they took this picture. I see Fat Man Scoop way in the back. I see, what's his name? KG. Evil D in the back. That's Evil D because he had a show. He had a Monday night... What was that shit called?
Wait, where is Evil? On which side?
Top right.
All the way top right? Wow.
Top right, black, white t-shirt.
Yo, he's so young there, bro.
I don't know who that is next to him. I think the Spanish guy next to Heavy D.
That's me. That's me with hair.
I think that was... I don't know who that is. Was that Speedy?
I don't know.
This is a rant. This rant. They let randos in this fucking picture.
Randos.
Who's the guy in the back with the white hat and the sunglasses? And who's that girl next to Lisa G? I mean, next to Lisa Evers.
Yo, I'm not sure, but there's someone on eBay right now trying to get $900, which they will never get, for the original 1994 Summer Jam shirt.
$90?
$900. It would be mine already. It's black. It has the old Hot 97 logo, and then it has Present Summer Jam underneath it. And on the back, it says Hot 97 Where Hip Hop Lives Summer Jam. In order, Queen Latifah, SWV, Arrested Development, Domino, A Tribe Called Quest, Black Moon, Gangstar, King Just, Wu-Tang Clan, Sudden Change, Nas. Meadowlands Arena, June 21st, 1994.
That is a fire concert. Shit.
You weren't there yet.
No.
Predates you.
No, I was in end of 97.
Yo, man. Billy, by the way, you never... I thought I was... You were going to let me buy the Summer Jam shirt from you. You never did. It's hurtful what you've done. Here, Sif, I'm going to show it to you so you can enjoy this. This is pretty tight. Yeah, there you go. Oh, it went the wrong way.
$900?
They're not going to get it.
Hey, trust me. If you want to sell a shirt for $900, maybe not have it on a fucking plastic hanger.
Yeah, treat it like it's something, for God's sake. Look at that. Look at that.
Black Moon, Gangstar, Wu-Tang, Nas. Man, it's fucking dope.
Sudden Change. Do they have a big record?
I don't even remember Sudden Change.
It was R&B.
Does it have a hip-hop feature? Should we play it at our party?
Well, that's why I'm... I don't know. I don't remember a Sudden Change record. They're not even... Yo, Sudden Change is not on Spotify.
You got to go to YouTube.
Do you have a location for the party?
No, we have nothing.
We have nothing?
You ever play the pause game on Instagram?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What's the pause game on Instagram?
Oh, where you pause to see like someone naked?
Yeah.
No, Sif. Yeah. We're not 15. I'm not 15.
It's fun.
I don't even know how you would end up in that. I don't know how you would end up in that world.
Oh, is that? I'm in that algorithm. King Just coming through for the Shaolin crew. Black Fist. Yo, hit him with an uppercut.
Hey, y'all, hey, y'all, hey, y'all, ho. 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 Hey, y'all, hey, y'all, can I get some? The sounds of the warrior's drum on the warpath don't make me laugh, cause you never in your life won't ever see the guards rap. I'm a chief that smoke.
If you're listening to our show and you don't know this song, I can't speak for Sif, but I want you to unsubscribe from Patreon and never listen to us again. Oh, sorry, just kidding.
Educational.
No, I want you to be like, oh my God, what is that? That's Warrior's drum, baby, King Just.
This song, I don't know.
You don't like it?
I like it, but I don't want to play it in my car.
I just want to...
I can do one verse in a mix.
Yes. Now, if you're going to talk very loose or non-existent Wu-Tang affiliation, I was going to say, if I was forced to choose one, it would be this. Sorry for the mixtape intro. It's from a random Cut Killer mixtape on Spotify. So this is what taught me about hating devils.
As I embellish, mentally I nourish. Resuscitate a mind state that has perished. We shall inherit his blood. I require back to earth. We rise out of spiritual darkness. 6,000-year curse.
6,
the lost disciples bound to the midst of the bottomless pit. Trapped behind the gates of the wicked wilderness. I hear the sounds of the trumpets blowing across the heavens. It's calm, prepare for the storm of the sevens. Shabazz, the disciple, the holy exalter. Condemning those who
sacrifice
babies on the altar. I hear the cries of innocent black babies who are aborted and unmercifully slaughtered. Loud screams echo, skulls of angry slaves turning over in their graves. The white sheets are like white flags. You need to wave it to the soldier of the Lord, the warrior King David. Come to kill and crucify those who trick and lie in the eyes of the Most High. The pale-faced devil race coat, the soy germ grafted from original.
I think he says scale-faced devil race caucasoid germ. You know why I like this song, Scythe? It's because it's I like that it's anti-Christian, not anti-Semitic. He doesn't come at Jews. He just said, how dare you use Jesus' name to share your filthy religion. Just very mean about Christianity instead for Jesus.
The holy psychiatrist, fourth disciple, and killer priest. Unlimited bolts of energy, psyching the enemy in the righteous vicinity. Death be a penalty.
So come on and swing it low, swing it chariot. Pick up your righteous load and yoke and carry it to a new home.
This one I can actually listen to like as a pretty full song. Really dope. This is a dope underground song. Cause dope beat. His raps are great. And the fucking, there's a chorus. Like there's an actual singable chorus that goes with it. And I love.
What song is that again?
Death Be the Penalty.
What was the other song he had?
And I love this one though.
Shopping your sword. We must be aware.
Obligatory Jamaican style singing.
You've been plagued with the mental disease.
Is he from Staten Island?
I think so.
Oh, what was his movie?
I don't know, but he says, I think he's produced by Fourth Disciple.
Okay, so he was like probably like Fourth Disciple's artist, kind of.
Where is Shabazz the Disciple? Billy, find us Shabazz the Disciple, please, right now.
The person?
Yeah. I had him on my...
He's probably working right now.
Do you hear what he just said, though? Killed Jesus and said that he died for their religion. Who's he going at?
Uh-oh, here we go. Uh-oh, is he in a tunnel right now?
What, you can't hear it at all?
I know.
Sai, you kidding me? What you just said is one of my... I play this all the time. I have a very good copy of this on my computer, what you just said. Yeah, here you go. Sai and I love this song, too. This is
my favorite non-Wu-Tang Wu-affiliated
song. This is your favorite non-Wu-Tang Wu-Tang song?
I think
your favorite? Your favorite?
Dude, I love this song, bro.
Oh, it was so good. This is...
I love this song.
If you talk about a song that is definitively not Wu-Tang... But sort of is Wu-Tang. Why is it not coming up? I thought it was on streaming services. Now they're playing OC. I hate you, Spotify. You don't know the vibe we're on? Why would you be going to Lord Finesse and OC? That's not what we were on. You see, you throw that all in the same category.
Yeah, it's not, those algorithm type Spotify playlists, they don't get it right.
No, all right. Let me see if I can play it for you from here. Let's see if this works. Because it didn't come up on streaming, but I told you it's on my computer. It's probably on the YouTubes too, and that would probably be easier. But why would I do that?
I was fucking with this white girl once.
Could you hear it or no?
And no. And
you didn't hear that.
She said she liked me because I looked like one of the members of either Killer Army or the, what was the other one?
I love Killer Army.
The other Wu-Tang group. There was Killer Army, and then there was Sons of...
Sons of Man.
Sons of Man. One of the guys, was his name Al Pacino?
Yeah. Or
she
Pacino.
She said I looked like Al Pacino, and she let me smash.
That is, wow, that must have been a Carhartt girl.
She didn't seem like it, but for her to, like, kill an army?
No, Scythe. She lived
right
no,
on
Scythe. 20, no, Scythe.
22nd Street.
In the city?
One of those little brownstones on 22nd.
Oh, you said brown?
What's it all for? Yeah. Everybody out here is poor. Cutting throat, got crackheads, selling soap.
Yeah, there's almost a Wu-Tang trick on the record, too. Because underneath, like, where it has the writer's credit, it says R. Briggs, which feels like it might be R. Diggs.
Yeah. It's like my whole family's feet. If it
it's produced by
it's bound to be another.
RNS, I believe.
Is that that's the same guy who had Shaheem the Rugged Child?
Yes.
Now what you gonna do? It's all up to you. Be your own man or run behind your crew. If you get back, don't expect no help. In the street life, everybody roll for Delph.
Black on black crime, you know it's gotta stop. It's time that our peeps start reaching for the top.
The only way we gonna get there is together. Let's start the revolution. You know I'm for whatever. Black on black crime.
He says, you know I'm for whatever.
It's time that my peeps can start reaching for the top. The only way we gonna get there.
Yeah, produced by RNS.
Does Meth get excited if he bumps into this guy?
I don't know. I don't think he knows Pop the Brown Hornet.
No?
Here,
Come on. Anybody rapping on Staten Island, they all had to know each other.
Well, I'm gonna send Method Man a video right now. Hold on.
You know what?
I'm going to send him a video.
Method Man?
Yeah. That's how Method Man speaks. Yo, Meth, Syph and I are doing the podcast right now. Question, which of the random, like, kind of loosely or not affiliated Wu-Tang artists did you guys actually, like, have a relationship with? Like, Sons of Man, Killer Army.
No, Sons of Man, and can he hear me?
Wait, no, he can't hear you, I don't think.
Okay, tell him Sons of Man and Killer Army are Wu-Tang affiliated.
Sons of Man and Killer Army are officially Wu-Tang affiliated.
Well,
true,
like,
I get that.
Was RNS
but affiliated? But, like, RNS, the producer,
and
Pop the Brown Hornet, Shabazz the Disciple...
Yeah. Shaheem the Rugged Child.
Shaheem the Rugged Child. We know
King
there's
Just.
An affiliation. King Just. I don't think King
how
Just
much
was,
was
any.
Was it all real?
Yeah. Was there any actual affiliation? Like, how well do you know these guys? Just curious. And hope you're well, buddy. Let's see if you can hear. Yo, Meth. Syph and I are doing the podcast right now.
Okay. He doesn't have time to talk to us. He's busy describing hip hop for Mos Def.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Okay, hold on. Let me look something right now.
I sent you his Instagram, but it doesn't have anything on it. Shabazz the Disciple.
Let's see what, by the way, Method Man only responds in video form. So I figure he'd appreciate the video.
That's actually pretty dope.
It's really dope. And I got to ask, I wonder what is his logic, like, I just don't want anyone to ever be able to, like, I'd rather people see, I want it to come from my mouth, if anything, I ever say anything.
Right, but there's voice notes for that.
But they disappear? I don't know.
I think he's like, texting doesn't convey the tone.
Right.
I want you to hear my tone and how I'm saying this. And, like, take it further, facial expressions.
Hold on, we didn't play another one, and it was important because you brought it up. Okay, this was the joint I used to play from the aforementioned Killer Army.
I gotta put Black on Black Crime in my phone.
Yeah, you need to have that available to you at all times, don't you?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Cue the bass.
This shit was hard. Bird side.
Wake the fuck up.
Killer Army, wake up.
Wake the fuck up. Yeah. Wake the fuck up. The wisdom we apply, son, soak this shit up.
I don't think they were chasing radio play with this record.
There was another guy that was kind of the one that was down with GZA. What was that guy's name again?
You don't mean Killer Something Priest, monk? Do you?
Killer Priest, yeah.
Killer
he was
Priest.
Wu-Tang kind of, right?
Yeah. Killer Priest is definitely Wu-Tang. I played a lot of Killer
Priest.
Where
are they at? Where they at, though?
There's so many.
Where are they at? Killer What's the guy from Killer Army? Is it Pacino?
You just Al said Pacino? You bring him up again?
How did he spell it, though? He spelled it a weird way.
I want to see if I can find the Killer Priest joint I played a lot. Was it
Do
this?
Do you feel like this should be the one-up episode?
But we can't play the music.
Oh, yeah, the music.
Oh, Killer Priest. But, Billy, we're going to do a video after this promoting the Patreon saying we did a full episode talking about Wu-Tang affiliates. Because this is what people want.
One foot in front of the other. My brother. Yo, check
Killer
out.
Priest was, like, pretty close to Wu-Tang.
Early natives related to the thrones of David.
Oh, Method Man has sent a video back.
Yeah. It's strippers naked. Why the wise pick their favorite? Lives were wasted in the hands of the hated.
All
driven
right.
from the gun.
Here we go. Let's hear from Meth.
Turn it to the screen, though.
Here, I'll turn it to the screen so you can see it, so Syph can see, okay. And we can all hear. All right? Here we go. Here's Mr. Meth.
Pete, I'm good. As far as Brown Hornet and RNS, TT, shit, super producer right there. He was responsible for a lot of the UMC stuff.
Whoa.
But TT been down A1 since day one, but not Wu-Tang affiliate. Popped the Brown Hornet A1 since day one. Love Pop. But no, not Wu-Tang affiliate. Actually, I think they had the Wu-Tang name first because RZA used to live in Stapleton. But RZA gave that name to a lot of niggas back, and he even gave it to me and you, God, once before, just the Wu-Tang name and shit.
Whoa.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. Everything else is spot on. All those other guys and shit, definitely affiliates.
Okay.
I hate to call them that and shit, but you know, a lot of them friends, family, shit like that. But I hope this answers your question. Tell Cypher Sound he's a piece of shit, and I love him. Peace.
Why? What? Why the shot?
He loves it. Yo, every time I used to interview Method Man, that's kind of like how he shows affection. He's a big, like, you're a piece of shit ass. Red Man's like that too. You're a fucking asshole. I just saw him in
Chicago with Dave. That's why.
Oh, you just saw Meth?
Yeah.
Real quick, do you think that was appropriate to play? Should I ask him?
What?
If we can play that on the podcast? I mean, all the information was for the podcast, right?
Yeah, you said we're doing the podcast.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when he said I hate to call them that, he means because affiliate is not, they're friends. He doesn't want affiliates like loose.
Yeah. Because he's talking about getting down to like the business and contracts and all that. That's not what we meant. We just meant like who was considered Wu family and who was just, it's basically friends and
fans.
You know what it is?
Friends of ours.
He's a friend of ours. He's a friend of mine. That's what it is.
Mm.
Were they made men in the mafia, or were they just friends of ours?
Did you know that RZA willy-nilly threw out the name Wu-Tang for a while, though?
No, but it makes sense.
That's interesting,
though. It makes
sense
if he was trying to, like, yo, somebody should use this, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, this is just hard.
I love this sound so much, somebody should use it. And then he finally was just like, fuck it, like, I'm just going to use it.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Did we cover every? We didn't play a Sons of Man record. Now, Sons of Man had a big deal. They were the ones who kind of Killer Priest got a big deal.
But this is what it sounds like to me looking back now. Some bum ass executive at some label was like, "Just we need something Wu-Tang."
And right.
Like, all right, here's these other guys.
Here's
these other guys. Anything with that W does good for us.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be the big W. It's going to be like a small black and white W. But you could use it.
What was Sons of Man on?
Sony. What was that imprint on Sony? Red Ant?
Oh, Red Ant? No, you sure?
I think so.
And what about Killer Arm?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? This is what you call, this is my history right here. You know what I'm saying? The fifth element. Earth, wind, fire, sons of man. You know what I'm saying? We got the Wu-Tang in the house. You know what I'm saying? ODB. Jawai Clef, play the guitar, man. Surface. The sun and moon had to track the power while it's on its way around the sun. I'm the Eddie Kane of the Wu-Tang. Osiris with the fire extinguisher slain. Maintain this paradise on this earth. With the shut the fuck up style for what the shit is worth. Watch a nigga catch a purse. Superhero nigga style. Do my dirt. Get away.
Yeah, he said with that shut the fuck up style. What does that mean? I mean, by the way, they were big into Jewish star imagery, Sons of Man, I feel like. They have a song here called Israeli News.
So maybe they were Israelites.
Yeah, maybe something else.
Oh, yeah.
Funny, I forgot
time
you
for us to unite.
Bro, I always forget. And it's crazy that RNS goes back to UMCs.
But they don't feel nothing Wu-Tang affiliated.
They don't feel anything related.
Yeah, but I forgot they were from Staten Island. That's what I'm telling you, all rappers are Staten Island.
In the ways of the world today, it's so easy to stray away. Trying to free our minds from all the drugs and crime. Material things keep us blind.
I want to tell you guys right now, when I'm with Natalie's parents, I see the Israeli news a lot. It sounds nothing like this.
Trying to free our minds from all the drugs and crime.
I'm not mad at this. I remember this one, Five Archangels. This was some underground shit. Like real.
The holy psychiatrist.
Like even Hell by Wu-Tang standards, underground.
Killer priests. So it is written. The war ran to the four corners of the earth.
Just hard.
The fifth ran into the sun. The book it read. Your ass is mine.
That club, and he was like, Oh, yeah, I remember y'all. Yeah, hey, what's happening, man? Yeah, what's up, man? Hey, we just
was just like a piece of it because that was on a single that I had that was definitely a full long ass song.
It sounds like a bunch of people trying to copy like RZA beats and RZA, like, okay, RZA samples this kind of music,
yeah, but
even,
I don't
like
know.
RZA even sampled like almost like big pop. Soul songs, but he found like the fucking weirdest little part of it. You can't just take any blues or pop or you can't just take any blues or soul song, find a one bar loop, put some drums on it, and it's a Wu-Tang. Like RZA had, like, he was finding fucking weirdo parts.
But this is confused. Yeah, no, absolutely, that's what made him. I'm confused because
What happened? You okay?
Well, Sons of Man had an album that came out in 96 mm-hmm. called Nothing New Under the Sun.
Yeah.
All right. There's like no info on that really, but it exists. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Then the one that I remember, The Last Shall Be First, mm-hmm. came out on July 21st, 1998, on Red Ant. Gosh, I'm good.
There's no info about the first one?
Yeah. Huh. But the one that they put here on streaming, I guess they just put it up because it doesn't have the same name. It's called Natural High, and it has some of the songs from The Last Shall Be First. Huh. But it's not The Last Shall Be First.
What about,
now,
what was Killer Army on?
Some indie, I feel like. Were they? I don't
know.
They're
like, why did he do Gravediggers? It's so like.
Wait, but hold on real quick. Run, if you want to know producers on the big Sons of Man album on Red Ant.
Yeah.
Fourth Disciple.
Yeah.
Supreme.
Don't know him.
He's a Sons of Man guy. True Master, Fourth Disciple, Wyclef did Shining Star. Supreme again, RZA, Fourth Disciple, True Master, RZA, Fourth Disciple, True Master, RZA, True Master, True Master. They got three RZA joints on here. Israeli News was supreme, in case you're wondering. Let's hear the RZAs real quick. Let's hear if they're dope, Saif. You ever think about the fact that we've missed great songs? Like, there's probably songs out there right now that would be one of our favorite Wu-Tang songs. We missed it.
I found some shit later on.
Let's hear Tribulation, Sons of Man, produced by RZA. I never listened to
it. I ain't want nothing no but a bankroll on the other side of 123rd Street, bro. Nothing no but a bankroll.
Oh, I know this song.
On the
other side of 123rd Street,
mixtapes?
Bringing it straight off the curb.
College radio.
Not shit at all. I got shit back getting me to Texas.
Yeah, I remember this.
With the guard you in the set.
I don't remember that.
I ain't want nothing no but a bankroll on the other side of 123rd, bro. Yo, now we got back.
Maybe a little bootleg action, so I put a little bootleg.
Life is reality, reality is life. People live in strife, the world filled with strife. The guards living right in this act, too many lack. Black on black crime, no rest, another victim laid to rest. Life is reality, reality is life. Niggas living strife, bitches living shicey. The guards living right in this act, too many lack. Black on black crime, no rest, another victim laid to rest. Life is reality, reality. Life is reality, reality. Life is reality, reality is life. Niggas living strife, bitches living shice. The guards living right in this act, too many lack. Black on black crime, no rest, another victim laid to rest.
All right,
this beat is what I was saying about when people try to make fake RZA beats. It's RZA making a fake RZA beat.
Exactly. Exactly. Here's another RZA joint called Inmates to the Fire. All right, without any further ado, Saif, look who showed up. While roaming the streets of Paris, your old friend, Scott Mascuti.
It was good.
Whoa.
The Cutter.
Cypher, what's up, boy?
What's up, my brother?
Man, Peter told me y'all was doing this. I was like, man, let me lock in.
Jump in real quick.
Yo, man. Insano's out, by the way, everyone. The new Cutter project. Congrats, Cuddy.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Fucking hard, by
hey,
the way,
I haven't spoken to you in a long time. Congratulations on your rap career.
Oh, man. I thought it's true. When the last time we talked, man? What the fuck?
Congratulations on all the things you've done by changing the world.
Man, thank you, man. Thank you, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Y'all always been supporting me, man. I want to say thank you for all the love all these years, man. I really appreciate it, man.
Did you say we disappoint you?
No, support,
I said all the love. I appreciate all the support you've been giving me.
Support, Saif. Saif, you've disappointed a lot of people, but not Cuddy.
Not me. Never. I love you guys.
That's great. That's awesome. Congrats, man.
What are you doing in Paris right now?
Can you guys hear me good? My service is kind of fucked up.
Oh, no. You actually sound really good. Yeah.
All right, cool. I'm actually handling some stuff for my clothing line, Motor. We just put up the showroom the other day. So I've just been meeting with buyers and shit, you know?
Members of the Rage.
Yeah. And it was my mom's birthday on the 19th, so I took her out to dinner. We hung out. She's in Paris with me.
Oh, that's dope, bro. You brought your mom to Paris?
Yeah, this is our thing. Like, she loves Paris, so I always like to bring her out whenever I get a chance, you know?
You seem, from social media, from a distance, you seem very upbeat and happy these days. Is that accurate?
Yeah, bro. Your smile is infectious, bro.
Yeah, man. It's you know, it's really wild. You know, I feel like I'm in, it's just like, you know, I'm going to turn 40 in, what, 8 days?
Shit.
Wow.
Or 9 days? You know what I mean? Like, and when you guys met me, I was like 23, 24.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, it's like, I've just reached it's like when I was younger, man, I always like, when I was like 28, 29, I was always like, man, if I do make it to 40, I hope to God I got this shit figured out. Cause right now this is a nightmare, you know?
I was literally going to say, Cuddy, it seems like and this is me just watching from a distance, just everything I see on social media and on the internet, it seems like you figured out some good shit, bro.
Yeah, I did, man. And you know, it was time that it took, you know? And that's and you learn that, you know? It's like it happens when it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
You know? 100%. You know, you just get to this place of peace. You know, I would always like meet Hove. Like when I was around Hov when I first met him back in 2010 and shit, And I would just see his aura. And I'd just be like, yo, this dude seems like he got it all figured out. He seems like he's so chill. I was like, I can't wait till when I'm that age. I just got it all figured out. Because right now I'm living a nightmare. I don't know what the fuck is going to happen to me tomorrow.
Yeah.
But like, looking at Hope gave me hope a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's the OGs. Yeah.
No, because some of those OGs are not good, bro.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? So that's when you see someone like Hove, you seen Hove recently?
Yeah.
He's like a fucking spirit now, bro. He's like
so
like loose. I mean, like,
but
holy
but
shit.
Every time I see Hove, there's like a fucking aura around this nigga's head. You know what I'm saying? Like he glows, man. He's just such a light, man. And you know, I ran into Tata out here. And I was getting a burger. I ran into Tata at the spot. And, you know, it was so crazy. Like, he was showing love for Intergalactic, you know, which won an Emmy, which is crazy.
Dude, you got an Emmy this year, too? I forgot about that.
Well, the animators got the Emmy. I guess it's still mine. You know,
it's still kind of yours. You at least get a certificate.
Yeah. Oh, that's dope. Yeah, man. So it's crazy. And I want you guys to come. I want you guys to come to LA.
My answer is yes. Whatever you're about to say, my answer is yes.
Okay. I'm gonna text Peter. It's top secret. I'm gonna text Peter, and you guys gotta give me some information. I'm gonna need some information right now.
All right, we're there.
Like honestly, bro, you always like we always talk about you on this podcast, on this show, like a family member that has gone on and done big things, bigger than we've ever imagine. You are like, it's so crazy. It's hard for me to see the influence you have on people when I hear like rappers say you're their biggest influence and their favorite rapper of all time. I'm like, this nigga that worked at the Bape store? You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. You are a fucking worldwide sensation, bro.
Man, you know what's crazy, man? I used to have to put shit aside for your ass, man, in the store. Like they would be like, this is Cypher. Like don't this is what size did you get? XL, 2X?
Back then, yeah.
So like, you know, they'd be like, put them up to the side. No, but none of the bigger dudes could get the shit. They'd be like, damn, you know, people were saying like small amounts of like 2X, you know, 1X. So like all this shit would be gone. It'd be like a pile of Bape shit for you on the side of the back. I'd be like, I'm talking about this is how real it was. When we would get shipments. Immediately for the shipments, we take out your shit and put it to the side.
Bro, you know what's crazy?
Yo, Syph, he's got all of it. And Syph,
oh my God.
I got all, bro. I got almost every piece of Bape item I ever have in my canisters upstairs and bins. I got
bro,
all of it,
bro. You should do like a grailed. Bro, like, you know how people put some of their classes on grailed and shit?
Yeah.
I don't want to sell it though. I want to do like a
display,
like a pop-up museum kind of thing.
Yeah, that could be dope.
Bro, I DJ'd the Bape, I think it was the 20th anniversary party at MSG, and I changed outfits every time I had to DJ, and niggas was going crazy. Like, where's that from?
God.
Where'd you get that? I'm like, some shit didn't even fit. I just put it on anyway.
Yo, you know what's crazy? Like, while I was Kid Cudi, I used to be hitting Bape like, yo, y'all don't ever send me shit. I even said one time, I was like, yo, I just send Cypher Sounds all this shit. I don't get shit.
Yo, well, Syph, this really backs up.
I was like,
up.
Yo, this I don't get shit, yo. Like, I used to work there. Like, I've done good shit. Like, it's 10 years. Give me some free shit. You know?
Yo, that totally backs up Syph's claim when people try to claim to be the original Bape Cats of how early and on Syph was with Bape. Like, this shit goes back.
Oh, no, he was
so
early.
Far.
He was in all the little videos they would have. You know how they would do the Goldeneye DVDs?
Yep.
Like, I think he was on one of them DVDs.
Yeah, I was with Pharrell and the clips and all them.
Yeah. Like, that's don't nobody know about the Goldeneye DVDs. Like, that's like classic. You know what I mean?
Yo,
you sound happy, bro. This is amazing.
Yeah, and the album's hard, Cudi. Like it's you always seem to go a slightly different direction with every album. And this one, you got drama on it, and just like tonally and beat wise, this joint feels like a little bit of another change for you kind of in a more hip-hop-ish direction.
Yeah, I mean, that was my plan. You know, I actually mentioned this in the Zane Lowe interview I did the other day. You know, nice. I was really inspired. I went to one of Kendrick's live shows, and I was in Paris and saw him, and it just blew my fucking mind. You know what I mean? It just made me want to rap again and just do some hip-hop shit, you know? Like, really, that's what it was. Because the show was just so phenomenal. Like, Kendrick is such a great performer, and, you know, like, it was just, it was beautiful, man. And, and I was just like, man, I just seeing the reaction from the fans to his music, I was like, this is the kind of reaction I want. Like, I want people to be having fun. I want people to dance. And a lot of my shit is, you know, kids still sing along and they love it, you know, but it's super, some of the songs are darker.
Very vibey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then some of the subject matter could be dark. You know, some of the kids love for me to do Mr. Rager or like, you know, some of my darker songs, you know? So like,
your songs hold a special place in a lot of people's hearts, bro. Your songs got them through a lot of tough times, but sometimes you just want to fucking rap.
Yeah, sometimes at this point, it's like, look, I got, was this my 11th album total? Like my 9th studio album, solo album, but like my 11th album total, you know, with the collabs in there.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I've done all the vibey shit. I've in many different ways. You know, I mean, mastered
you did songs. You did songs with Michael Bolton, bro. I mean,
yeah. Like, let's be real, Michael Bolton. You know what I'm saying?
He's always there, and you can always do another one if you want.
Yeah, man. You know, it's crazy. It's like, you know, I'm blessed that I can be at this stage in the game and I can still deliver something new and give a new experience. You know what I mean?
What's going on with Kanye? No, I'm kidding. No. Don't answer that. I'm kidding.
No, but seriously, how crazy that Pete Davidson, for example, when I did my show for Complex a couple years ago, there were two people who glowed about you on my interviews. ASAP Rocky glowed about you.
Rocky always does.
He like Man on the Moon, how you're like his hero, and then Pete Davidson, obviously, like you mean he is one of those kids who was literally depressive and struggled with a lot of things, who you helped, and then of course you guys became friends. It must be crazy to see these other stars now, who like grew up with feeling that your music supported them and helped them get through shit.
Yeah, it fucks me up, man. In the best ways possible, because, you know, like, guys, this was my mission when I made that first album. You know what I'm saying? I wanted it to, like, help people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't, like, my goals were very, like, simple, you know? Like, I just wanted to, like, you know, reach out and connect to the people that felt like me. It was like an SOS, you know what I'm saying?
And it worked, and it actually connected with them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, man, before the album came out, like the night before, the two nights before, I couldn't sleep. I thought I made a mistake. The first album. I was like, yo, I made a mistake. I was like, this shit is too different. I was like, this don't sound like nothing that's out right now. People ain't going to be feeling this. I got nervous. And then that shit came out, and then it was like that meme that you see on Twitter of Homelander kind of standing there, and then all the people are clapping, and then he gets the clue and he starts laughing. Mm-hmm. It was like that. I was like, oh shit, they like it. Oh. And then my confidence came back. But it was like, yo, you got to think about it, man. A song like Pursuit of Happiness in 2009, you know? Like, Day and Night was already weird enough, but then Pursuit really went there.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like, it was like, And, like, literally, that's the song. I can't do a show unless I perform that song, bro.
Oh, bro, and I'll tell you right now, like, so my wife, who I married, you know, 6 months ago, she's 10 years younger than me. Pursuit of Happiness occupies a totally different place in her life than mine.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like, it's a dope song that was on Cudi's album, but, like, I was already, Syph and I were already doing the morning show and shit.
And
like,
an
adult.
If I'm DJing a certain type of crowd, I got to play that song because it always goes off. But it's not like one of my favorite Cudi songs.
But
for those people, it's their shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing how that song kind of took a life of its own.
Yeah. It's
you know,
because
at first
yeah.
it was like, I thought the idea when we did the remix, I thought the idea of the song got lost on people. No. You know what I mean? Because the remix was so turned up and you just wanted the rage to it. But it's like the song is really reckless and it's super dark, really. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but then I've realized like, man, it's kind of okay to, because this is bringing joy to people in pain, you know? Like yeah. they're taking this and they're not sitting in their pain. They're going out with their friends or something, or they're just enjoying themselves for the night, living in the moment, you know, being young, being free, you know? And that's why that song will always have a life, because there's a kid right now that's 15 years old that discovered that like snuck out on Friday night to go to that house party. Mm-hmm. And like, he's in the car driving with the girl that he has a crush on that he hasn't talked to yet, but he's thinking, tonight is the night, I gotta say something. And like the song comes on and he's like, oh shit, I love this song. And he's like, I love this song too. And they bond over my music or some shit. You know what I mean? It's like, these are the things, these are the stories, these yeah, are the, trying, the stuff that, that like now. You hope for, you know?
I wish I could do that right now.
No, sorry if it's over. Yeah.
But that's like what's happening, you know? And it's a beautiful thing. It's just, my music is brought, and somebody said this on Twitter the other day. They said, yo, being a Cudi fan, you're like in this community, yeah. You know? And it's like, when you come to my concerts, everybody is loving, accepting, you know, you can sing the songs however loud you want. Nobody's going to judge. You know what I mean? Like, it's just community. People make friends at my shows. I see it all the time. People are like, yo, I met like 5 kids tonight, you know, at the Cudi show that are my friends, you know, like,
damn,
it's just dope, man.
Have you seen, because your early work was such music of kids, how young is the crowd now? And have you seen the crowd get older? Because now I'm guessing the kids, when you first came out, they're all now in like their late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah. Right. So my fan base is young now, because, because of TikTok and because of my acting and just being involved in kid shit.
No, nigga, that I only saw your part of the LeBron house party.
Yeah.
that's the only part I saw where you go to the Illuminati. Yo, yeah, that shit is fucking crazy, bro.
I had a fucking great time shooting that. That was mad.
I didn't see the whole movie. I think it was on a plane or I was in a hotel, and just I started watching from that part. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yo, bro, that shit was wild, man. You gotta watch that whole movie, man, just like to see how started and shit.
Get some content. And by the way, that's a Calmatics movie. A one-up listener.
Yeah,
shout out to Calmatic.
With that, man. Shout out to Calmatic, man. He killed that shit.
Syph, in the new, he has another, I forgot to tell you, Calmatic has another new commercial he produced right now that has a one-up Easter egg in there.
What do you mean?
God, you remember nothing. I told you that he put an Easter egg, a little Easter egg in that truck commercial like a year ago. Now he directed another commercial and he has a little one-up thing.
What's the thing? I'll
send it to you. I forget. But
your audience is young now, huh?
That's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, man, it's kind of crazy. Like I like, you know, the kids that come to my shows, you know, like, because I have fans that got kids now and they put their kids onto my music. You know what I mean? It's like a family thing. They bring their fucking 9-year-old.
Your music is timeless, bro. Your music is timeless.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, man. It's like,
It seemed like early on, like back in the day, I feel like I would hear stories about you, like, I don't know, wilding out somewhere. You know, you seemed like you seemed uncomfortable with the transition from being like angsty kid to superstar. And you're not the only person who I saw with that transition. You know, the people who I was friends with, Wale had his own things, you know, getting into that space and getting comfortable with himself. And I never saw it, because whenever I saw you, you were always just coup de la and seemed chilling to me. But would you say that transition was hard to you, and you had to learn how to sort of be Kid Cudi as opposed to Scott?
Yeah, it was definitely tough for me, man. And you know, when you spend 23 at that time, we spend 23 years of your life, 23, 24 years of your life just being a regular guy. And then literally overnight,
Yeah, it happened
you're
fast.
You're the guy. Yeah. You know, that shit can fuck with your mental.
Of course.
Unless you're somebody that's like, ooh, I wanted this. But like, I wasn't, you know, I knew I was going to be famous, but I didn't think it was going to be like what it
you
became.
You just
want to
be
like a
famous rapper.
You said what?
I said you probably just wanted to be like a famous rapper. Now you're like a
yeah,
fucking...
like I said it in my interview with Zane Lowe. I was like, man, at best, I thought I would have like a Most Def career where I could have my cool albums and be respected, and then do some movies
but
on
move
the side.
But you can still move
around.
You know
around. What I mean? Yeah, and still have the freedom to like live a life. You know?
Yeah.
But like
exactly.
This shit kind of blew up. You know, it blew up. Like Day and Night was number 3 on the Billboard charts. That's my highest charting song ever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it just took the fuck off. My debut sold 104,000 first week. You know what I'm saying? For a debut, that's really fucking
huge,
great.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in 2009, for that type of music, that is really fucking great.
Well, yeah, in the period that as sales were starting to go down, that's like as people are starting to not
all,
fuck with physical
yeah,
music
all
anymore.
Shit,
yeah.
Fucking download YouTube, all that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, man. Yeah, that's a really interesting way of thinking about it. So
how much of the old shit can you do with this new young fan base?
How much of the what do you mean?
You do all the old stuff too? Like they know
they love
all?
The old shit. They got to know all the old shit, right?
Oh yeah, when I do the shows?
Yeah, like your fan base is younger now, you're saying.
Yeah, but they know
everything.
They know everything. They listen to the albums. They know from WZRD shit to Speed and Bullet, you know, my more adventurous stuff,
yeah.
You know, and it's great, man, because it's like, you know, I always wanted to make something timeless, and you know, you at least most artists hope they have that one album that stands the test of time, but I got like 11, all
That's
of them are
crazy.
A moment.
That's
you know
crazy.
What I'm saying? Like people, there's people that be like, yo, I remember where I was when I heard this album, when I heard Man on the Moon 2. I was going through a breakup and I was super dark and I heard your shit and it just fucked me up and inspired me and made me not feel alone. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and then you say, get the fuck out of my face.
No, Scythe. I would not say that, Scythe.
I'm just trying to eat dinner with my mom. Get beat it, chump.
No, I would not say that, Scythe. I actually did kind of curse at someone in some way, kind of like that when I was out with my sister having lunch. So we was eating at the, you know that restaurant, Soho Park, is that the name of it?
Mm-hmm.
That burger
so.
Spot
yeah,
on
yeah.
Lafayette?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. That used to be
great,
down the block
great,
where Supreme
great
used to be.
Yeah, I don't know if it's still there.
Nigga, you was in there. You did it to yourself. Like,
yo, this was like, I was like famous for like 2 weeks. I just got my deal. Like, I was like, I just started out, bro. I was still going to McDonald's thinking it was all good. You know? I was testing the waters. You know?
Yeah, that's so dope, bro.
Yo,
that's
did
so
you dope. Did you ever talk to Jim Jones after he did the remix? Because that was really... That was early me and Scythe days, and that really set your shit off on hot on kind of another level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, like, man, he was a very early supporter.
Oh, yeah.
Of me.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking. Because when I play Day and Night as a DJ, I play the fast one, like the remix.
That
the Crooked Remix.
Crooked Soul.
But I forgot about the slow one, like with the Jim Jones shit.
Yeah.
I forgot
yeah,
it's like
the. It's always dope when you see. When you see somebody be inspired, you know what I'm saying? Especially somebody that you grew up listening to.
Yeah.
Used to fuck shit up listening to, you know, going to the parties, picking up chicks, you know, driving around the blocks in Columbus at the block parties, playing Dipset, you know. So this was the nigga I looked up to and like,
yeah, that's dope,
you know, just see that he was so inspired. I mean, the nigga, I was looking at it recently. I was like, oh, the nigga got the flannel in there. He was trying to look like a little hipster and shit in the video. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, he was definitely getting the vibes, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, I ain't never seen Jim Jones in no fucking flannel. Nigga, this is a fucking flannel. Like, hipster Jim. But it was dope, man. It was ill, man. It was super flattering. I was like, damn, man, I'm onto something. It was validating at that time.
And it really... And it was important, I think, too, because, like, in New York, you know, hot at that time was – I was – like, there were not many spots that you could hear rap records, and Day and Night started going, And then that just gave it more extra life because it sprinkled a little street flavor to it.
Yeah. So it made all the street dudes fuck with it. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Careers are so crazy though, bro. Like I always say this about our career, like being a broadcaster, you know, talent, a lot of different people have talent, and the varying degree to what makes one person a superstar and what makes someone who doesn't make it is so crazy. And you could go back and look, you know, at like your freshman cover and see other people who were incredibly talented also. I'm not saying they were Scott Mascuddy talented, but really talented, and did not get to have the career that you had. And it's just crazy, like what random events probably happened, the good luck, the effort, whatever it is that turns you into a fucking superstar who's had 10 albums and is in Paris right now working on their clothing line versus someone who right now is either hustling to put out an indie project or not even making music at all anymore. Do you ever think about that?
I do sometimes. You know, I've been the underdog, I feel, my whole career. And when I did the XXL, you know, they put me in there because of the Kanye cosign. They had to, you know?
Mm.
And I don't think they truly understood
what I was about to do. No way.
I don't think they could have either fathomed. But they saw the cosign, and they're like, all right, well, we got to put Cudi in there. And when we got ready to do the cover, you know, my label, Sylvia Rhone and all them, they were super, super big on trying to have me on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back and were like, no, we're going to put these sign artists on the cover. Charles Hamilton, Asher Roth, B.O.B., and Wale.
Mm-hmm.
They're signed. They got deals.
Okay.
And they put me on the last cover. The last cover of all the covers, bro. And I remember in that moment, I was like, okay, I don't want to feel ungrateful, but I deserve that fucking cover.
You wanted the first cover. They put you on. I'm looking now.
So I was the first.
You, Ace Hood, and Currency.
I deserve to be on the front of that fucking cover. Yeah, I knew
whoever,
it. I knew
whoever
it.
Whoever made that decision, looking back now, they were like... We should have cut it.
You know what I'm saying? And then I'm glad that they took the picture with me kicking, because that was me kicking motherfuckers in the fucking jawbone. That's what I fucking did. That was me kicking down the doors of hip hop and making it my own for 15 years.
But Cudi, like, okay, I have these weird segments in my mind, right? Like, I look at like 90s, my favorite shit. And then, like, to me, like, De La and Diddy caused a riff, like, the hip hop split. Right? And there's a couple more times where that happened. When Wayne was smoking hot, shit kind of split. When you came out, you created a whole new, I don't even want to say genre, like a whole new fucking essence of hip hop. You created a style of hip hop that, like,
that is true,
have inspired so many people. Like, if you start breaking it down to the where they get their style from in the core, Cudi is like the genesis.
You're one of those dudes. Yeah.
It's fucking crazy to think that, man.
It's crazy. And like we could talk weirdness about Kanye all day, but Kanye had a whole level of it too. But then you get to splinter off of that and it didn't sound anything like what he was doing. Like,
no, it was your own. You tapped into this like thing. This emotional thing.
Like you're saying, like they let you rock on the freshman because of the Kanye cosign, and it all gave us a like, okay, well, who's this guy? But you way surpassed that. You took that little step and made it your own thing where people will say, I started rapping because when I listen to Kid Cudi. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's incredible. I've never done that for any. I might hang myself today.
No, Saif.
I've never had this effect on anybody.
No, you haven't, but don't do that.
It's beautiful, man.
Yo, Cudi, you never did a record with Mac Miller?
No. we were supposed to hook up a couple times, but it's just like this shit never came together, you know?
It just seems like it should have happened.
And there was this one record that Steve has that he wanted to put me on. That's a Mac record that he had that's fucking fire. But I just don't want to just be jumping on, you know, people's record. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I know Mac wanted to work with me, but like, he not here no more. And I just, you know, it's sad that like to hear the record because it's so fucking good. And like, you know, I don't know. I feel like he don't need me on it. I think people just need to hear him on it and just let him have his moment. Like, I don't know. But there's no song, you know, but he was a homie, and I remember he came to the Just What I Am video shoot. I hit him up. I was like, yo, can you come to the video shoot? He was there, like, ready, you know, showed up, was there all day, you know what I mean? Like, and it was crazy because it was the first video I've ever directed. And wow. So I was still trying to figure shit out on set, and he just stuck around and hung out and super, super fucking cool, you know? And, you know, so he was somebody I always had love for, man. Always somebody I always thought was just a cool, down-to-earth dude. You know what I mean? And there's not a lot of people like that in the industry, you know? There's not a lot of people like that.
No, he was a one-of-a-kind. And he also now, his music, as it evolved over time, he's become one of those people to young people that they're going to get into music because of Mac's last couple of albums. You know what I mean?
And I think, you know, that's going to, you know, encourage people to, he's going to also encourage people to try different flavors, you know what I'm saying? And push the boundaries a little bit. And be a musician.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And like, you could do it and be good at it.
So fucking far right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know who's the next one that's going to push a boundary? The boundaries are so fucking out there in hip hop right now. It's crazy. Like,
man, somebody, you'll be surprised. It'd be some kid from Buffalo, New York, come out just fucking fuck up this shit.
It's funny you say that. It's funny you say Buffalo, because Griselda pushed it the other way. Like, they went in, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're right. Like, yo, there used to be some dope-ass shit, like, and they went to the fucking bottom of the boundary, and they went in with it.
Yeah. I feel like, man, it just takes... You know, every 10 years you get a new wave of something, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that pretty much the time frame? Every 10 years or 15 years or so, there's like a new wave of something.
I think so. I think that's about the, if we were to look at it, it's about that. Although this period's gotten interesting, right? Because, you know, yeah, the last 15 years, I don't know, it's been a weird time for hip hop. You've had like similar people kind of at the top of the food chain, and then you've had like weird stuff that goes different directions under it, but then there's also been sort of like you know, the Lil Wayne wannabe era and Future wannabe. I'm using wannabe in a negative way. I shouldn't say that. The super influenced by Wayne, Future, etc. It feels like that's taken up such a huge space and long period of time. It feels like now we've been in that for years.
Well, I feel like it's just gonna take just somebody to just wake up and just say fuck this, because you got to think about it. Like, I want kids to really, really look at how I was able to do what I did. It was nothing too spectacular, other than it being unique and different. That's it.
And good,
you know.
Well, and you didn't care.
It was just
care.
Being unique and being myself, and tapping into my own energy, bro.
Yeah, but
you know, it's like that's really all you got to do. That's why we see Tizo Touchdown and we root for him. You know what I'm saying?
He's a good one to point out. He's definitely on some
like
his
he's
shit.
he's doing his thing. You know what I'm saying? And you just being your own person, being unique, have a story to tell. You know, like tell your story.
But I just want to wear Air Force Ones and wear shirts that match the swoosh.
Well, you can do that too.
Yo, but you,
yo,
also,
guys, I gotta go. I gotta go check on my mom. She's not
okay.
Feeling
go
good.
Check on your mom.
Go check on your mom, bro. We really appreciate.
I want to talk to y'all,
on.
Man. I'm glad we got a chance to chop it up. And I'm gonna, yo, Peter, I'm gonna text you because I need y'all some information for all this. Right,
we're going to your thing, and thank you for the time, bro. This is the most precious The most precious element in the world is time, and we appreciate every second.
Thank you, bro.
Oh, man. You already know, bro. Man, all love, right. Bro.
Later, Cutter. Take care of yourself.
Peace, guys.
Peace. Oh, there you go. We signed you out. There you go. There's Kid Cudi.
Thanks a lot, Cuddy's mom.
We could have done another hour.
Thanks a lot. Because you want to go to Paris.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.